Sunday at US Bank Stadium, we saw one of those games, John, that reminds you why you became a sports writer, why you grew up loving sports, why with all the silliness and crapola you deal with in the sports world or the sports media world, sometimes it's all worth it because you get to watch a game like that and get to watch a game like that in person.
Yeah, it was amazing. You know, I honestly did not know what to expect coming in. I did pick the Packers to win the game because even though I knew that Aaron Rodgers was not quite himself, I just didn't think that I didn't think that the Vikings would be able to withstand the Packers' defensive pressure. And in it, what we saw was a quarterback rise to the occasion again in Kirk Cousins. What we saw was a back and forth, kind of thrilling fourth quarter, final few minutes, supercharged up atmosphere, great performances from multiple people, breathtaking plays on both sides. I just think everyone who paid got their money's worth. And for those of us who are fortunate enough to get in there and get paid to watch that thing, I mean, you're right. That's exactly what keeps us coming back and doing this, even in the duller moments of our careers, because we might get a game like that. It was an unbelievable game.
And I can't stand Aaron Rodgers as a human, but man, I'm going to miss him in this rivalry. If he does depart after this year is over, I'm going to miss watching him in a Packer uniform because he makes the Packers interesting. What a performance by him. They start off the game. It looks like the Vikings have a pretty good plan to keep him and Davante Adams under wraps, and then boom, he becomes unstoppable, and the Vikings win the game essentially because they did not let him have the ball in the last couple of minutes.
Yeah, I mean, incredible play by Dalvin Cook at the end to just understand what the Vikings needed to do to win that game, and so that's why he did not try to score on the last on his last carry, because he's like, look, if we give the ball back to Aaron Rodgers with any time left, he's coming right back down the field. But you know, I just think about all of the matchups that I've seen between the Vikings and Aaron Rodgers over the years. I think they're now 7-7 in their 14 matchups. So it's been in the Zimmer era, I should say. So it's been really compelling, really hard fought. What you want out of a rival is not the one that you beat easily. It's not the Lions, you know, that you beat all the time and never have any issues with. It's the ones where you go in with the fear of God in you and wondering if, you know, if the team is going to be able to hang with it or not. And with Aaron Rodgers, you know that the Packers always have a chance. And, you know, some of the throws that he was making, especially the last one, the 75-yard touchdown, I mean, there might have been, a better way to cover that play, but that was an unbelievable throw with unbelievable zip on it to get just enough separation from Xavier Woods so that the receiver could score. And he's also a kind of a troller. He likes to have fun with his opponents. He likes to go at them. I mean, it's incredibly compelling stuff. And you're right. I don't think he's coming back next year, which will definitely change the tenor of the Vikings-Packers rivalry, and unless or if Jordan Love can somehow get to that point, which is asking an awful lot from a young quarterback. So I will miss him here in this division, in this rivalry, just because he was one of those guys that Vikings fans love to hate, and you need that kind of an intensity to the rivalry, and he brought it every single game.
Let's get to everything that went right for the Vikings and how it sets them up for success the rest of the season. It's been a rough haul for them. The last 2 weeks, they have really they've put themselves in a great position. Let's get to all that here on the Viking Update Show. He's John Krasinski from The Athletic. I'm Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune. Brandon Morton, as always, is our producer. Karen Cleary is our sales executive. Thank you to everyone for listening to TalkNorth.com, making the network a success. We do appreciate it. We also appreciate our sponsor, Starbank. Bank, Pizza Barn in Princeton, BetUS.com, promo code TNorth125 for 125% sign-up bonus at their very quality website and app. Also, to let you know, John Krasinski is, of course, the star of the John Krasinski Show, talking about the Timberwolves and the NBA, and the Timberwolves are becoming very fascinating of late. We're going to do the John Krasinski Show live at Tuttle's in Hopkins, December 2 and December 27th. December 2nd, December 27th. They have a cool stage out there. We've had done other shows from our network out there. We'll be out there. Just a good place to come shoot the breeze with us, ask some live questions, make fun of John, whatever you want to do. So come out and join us there. Let's get to the fact that the last two games, they have decided to throw the ball deep to Justin Jefferson, and they have been pretty close to unstoppable. I looked up some numbers after the game yesterday. Jefferson has more catches and more yards, and by a fairly wide margin, than Randy Moss did at a similar juncture of his career. He basically was not a big part of the game plan in the two crucial losses against Dallas and at Baltimore. Last 2 weeks, he has put up his best two-week performance. Yesterday was his best single-game performance, and they win. Sometimes statistics can be overrated or oversimplified. I just think right now, when Cousins is willing to throw the ball downfield to Jefferson, this team becomes unguardable.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds simplistic, and I always hesitate, when we do these analysis of offensive football and strategy, like trying to sound like a know-it-all and trying to say like, I'm the offensive coordinator, I know what will work, but it just seems so obvious in this case of something that the Vikings absolutely had to do to put pressure on the defense and to make them backpedal a little bit more and to open things up for the running game, to open things up for Adam Thielen and Tyler Conklin and everything else. When you go down the field to Justin Jefferson, there are three things that can happen, and two of them are good. One is a Jefferson reception, and the second thing is a pass interference, which we saw both of on Sunday. And so he is so dynamic. He is such an amazing route runner that and a great kind of winner of contested balls, that I just think that it was always a head scratcher of why they didn't try to get the ball more to him. And you saw Cousins a few times in the game really take chances and throw to Jefferson when he was quote unquote covered. Now, one time at the very end of the game where Savage picked it off but dropped it, that could have been disastrous. Cousins also kind of forced one to Thielen on the last drive that he got a little bit lucky with as well. But that's quarterback play, man. Like you have to be able to walk the razor's edge, as Cousins said time and time again yesterday in the press conference room. And sometimes you are going to make a mistake. Sometimes it's not going to work out, but more often than not, when you have a player of Jefferson's caliber, I think it's going to benefit the offense in many ways. And so I don't think he's Randy Moss. I think Randy Moss is a completely different animal. The way that he tilted the field, the way that he kind of bent defenses to his will, like all of those things. But Jefferson is a remarkable, remarkable receiver. And to not target him, to not use him, just lets the defense off the hook. It's like when Anthony Edwards takes a three, now they sometimes go in, but guaranteed the defense takes a little breath of a sigh of relief because he didn't go downhill toward the rim. And that's where he's most effective. Where the Vikings are most effective is using that downfield talent. And then that opens things up for Dalvin Cook to do his damage, for Adam Thielen, for all these other guys. So, I thought the game plan against the Packers was great. I thought Kirk Cousins' willingness to walk that line and take some chances was terrific. And that's what you need to do to win good games, big games against good competition, which they have done very little of prior to this.
Let's talk about those two throws that we're talking about, the two riskiest throws of the day, other than the one Cousins got roughed and wiped out an interception. He throws the ball up to Justin Jefferson. It gets briefly intercepted before the ball comes loose after Jefferson's raking at the guy's arms. That would have been a bad result, throwing an interception in that situation. But I think it was really interesting that Cousins, after the game, said it wasn't necessarily a bad idea to throw the ball to Jefferson there. It was a bad throw. In other words, if he throws it higher and farther, then it's either a great catch by Jefferson on the sideline or it's an incomplete pass. The fact that he threw it flat allowed a defensive back to jump it. So I think it was more of a throwing technique than a bad idea. And the other one, the throw to Thielen, yeah, you can say maybe you shouldn't throw that and it's risky and all that other thing. The reality is that play might have won the game. You know,
yeah,
throwing the ball in Adam Thielen's vicinity, having him make a typically great play and then go down the sideline and set you up so you can, you know, Dalvin Cook can run and kill the clock. I mean, that play might have won the game. So that's why I'm always talking about the fact, yeah, you can throw it underneath to Tyler Conklin and you can get 5 yards and you can improve your completion percentage, but those plays don't win games. When you throw the ball to Jefferson and Thielen downfield, they're probably going to find a way to win the game.
Yeah, that part of it, and you hit the nail on the head, Jim, in terms of him talking about the throw to Jefferson needing to be higher. And I love that he said that and didn't say, I can't throw that ball. Not in that situation, I can't make that throw, because there was another portion earlier on in his press conference where he did say, you know, I got to reevaluate, you know, some of the throws that I made. And right there, I'm wincing and I'm thinking, man, Kirk, like, you know, don't go gun shy now. Like, you know, this worked out for you. And yeah, maybe you got a little bit lucky. But that is the kind of bravado you have to play with to win big games in this league. You have to take some chances. You have to push it. Push the envelope a little further than you're normally used to pushing it. And that is why they won the game. And so as Kirk Cousins goes back to Egan this week and looks at the tape and reevaluates and analyzes and all of those things, I think a key for him and for Clint Kubiak and for anyone else who is in that room, Andrew Giannoco in that, is just to say, hey, Kirk, a couple of those were pretty close, but it worked out for us, and that's why we won. And so to keep kind of drilling that into his head, that this is acceptable, because Mike Zimmer said it as well in his press conference, and he said, I've talked to Kirk all the time. I'll tell you when it's time to back the game down. He said that, and he said, so go for touchdowns, and I'll tell you when it's time to slow down. And I think Kirk has to listen to him, and because, let's face it, he has the arm. He has the talent. He has the precision to make those throws and to trust not only in his receivers to make those plays, but in himself to make the throws to give his receivers a chance. He has the physical talent to do it. What has been missing a lot of times is the mental daredevil approach, you know, that can win you games, and the risk taking that needs to happen, that all the great ones do. And so he's got all the numbers. Now, if he kind of gets and adjusts his approach just a little bit, maybe we'll have a different conversation about Kirk Cousins at the end of this season.
Yeah, of course. Because he is accurate, and he's going to be accurate and explosive. Well, that's what everybody wants out of their quarterback. And if he's going to combine accuracy, low interception rate, and big plays, then this becomes a great offensive team that might be able to survive its flaws on defense and even the offensive line. To get back to the conversation that we heard in the press room, in the media interviews after the game, I did think it was really fascinating that they come off winning a game 34-31, out shooting Aaron Rodgers at his best, and Zimmer, the guy who used to try to make Kirk Cousins a game manager, who we know really doesn't like Kirk a whole lot, is admitting, hey, I've told this guy to cut it loose. And it's Cousins saying, oh man, I got to reevaluate some of these throws. It's fascinating because, you know, there have been so many phases already in the Kirk Cousins experiment. First, it was bring in a guy at your what, you know, to make you better so you can go to the Super Bowl. This guy's going to take us there. And then, this guy ain't that guy. Let's have him be an expensive game manager and just get the ball to Dalvin Cook. And now here we are. Hey, Kirk, you ain't just driving the bus. You know, we want you to drive the bus the way the buses are driven in Mad Max. We want your hair on fire, playing guitar, making big plays. And that is not the way it was even at the beginning of last year.
That's right. And, you know, I was talking with Chad Graff and Arif Hassan, my teammates at The Athletic, after the game last night. And, you know, one of the things that was interesting about Case Keenum when he was here and when they were having the success with him, what did Mike Zimmer say? I like Case because he's got big balls. Now, I think the reason that Case Keenum is no longer here is because he didn't have the big arm to go with it. And what Mike Zimmer has now started to say to Kirk Cousins is he's got to kind of figure that part of his game out a little bit more, and he's going to push him. Because here's the other part of it, Jim, that I think factors into Zimmer's sort of newfound kind of encouragement for Cousins to go for it. And I think that he is understanding that his defense is not capable of winning games 20-17, 17-14 anymore, or at least not in those games against Aaron Rodgers. So what he understands now is that there are limitations on his group now that Danielle Hunter is out, now that Patrick Peterson is getting back in, but still kind of, you know, working through his things. Xavier Woods looked terrible on Sunday. Like, you know, there are a lot of holes in that defense. And so the approach has to change from we're going to run the ball, we're going to win this game 21-17, and we're going to get out of here. That's not possible against really, really good offenses that they're going to face. They're just not going to be able to shut them down. So they have to go outscore them. And then when they get into those moments late in the game, for the once, Mike Zimmer made some great clock management, you know, end of game strategy type decisions with the kneel down, with Dalvin Cook not scoring, with all those things to keep the ball out of Rodgers' hands and keep it in Kirk Cousins' hands. And that's, I think, a marked difference from the philosophy that Mike Zimmer probably, if you just put him in, you know, gave him some truth serum and how do you want to win, he wants to win a game 10-9 in just a defensive slugfest. That's not possible right now. So now he's like, okay, let's go, let's figure this out. This is the way we have to do it. And this is the way that maybe he saves his job, the way that maybe the Vikings have the best chance to get to the playoffs, all of those things. I think we're just seeing kind of an evolution of the recognition from Mike Zimmer of what this particular team is going to have to do to win on a weekly basis.
Let's talk about the playoff run. Let's also talk about what you said about Randy Moss. We do want to thank our sponsors, including Star Bank. Have you tried to call your bank lately? Do you bank locally? Star Bank is our bank at the Talk North Podcast Network. They're a family-owned local bank with branches across central and west central Minnesota. With Star Bank, you get all the bells and whistles you would expect from a bank these days, but they have no 800 number, no call center, and no confusing phone queue. You can even request your banker's cell phone number. That's how they operate. Star Bank is a true Minnesota family-run business. Check them out at starbank.net. Star Bank is a member FDIC, an equal housing lender. Also, want to tell you about Pizza Barn in Princeton. The website is pizzabarnprinceton.com, and on that website, you will see a tab for a food truck. Jody Stay has been running the Pizza Barn. It's a family-run, community-oriented business for a long time, and they're so popular, and there was such demand for their food. They started a food truck, and they're going all over the state, all kinds of events, family, business, fun, concerts, whatever. And the food's great. Brandon and I have had their food out of the food truck. It tastes just as good as it does at the actual Pizza Barn. That's hard to pull off. Pizza, hoagies, cheesecake on a stick, all kinds of cool stuff. It's great. So if you're in the Princeton area, upper northwest quadrant, whatever, if you're anywhere by 169, you're not far from Pizza Barn, stop by. You can get order out, whatever, but the food truck is killing it. They're going to add a second food truck. It has gone so well. We also want to thank BetUS. We will do this BetUS Smart Picks of the Week later. Promo code for 125% sign-up bonus, TNorth125. If you use crypto, use TNorth200. You get a 200% bonus. And, you know, BetUS has been killing it. One of the longest-running businesses in this industry. that now they're really, you know, become even more to the forefront as gambling becomes more popular, more legalized everywhere. You can, the app is great. The website, betus.com, tons of research. You can bet anything you want, including pop culture, including prop bets and all your favorite sports. Of course, you can bet anything you want on the NFL. We're going to do our picks later and highlight that. Thanks to all of our sponsors at talknorth.com. So you said Jefferson's not Randy Moss, and you're right. Randy Moss is the most talented receiver who ever lived. He is unique. But I will say, if you go down the list of the greatest receivers in NFL history, you know, there are a lot of people who aren't Randy Moss. Jerry Rice, Larry Fitzgerald, Terrell Owens, Isaac Bruce, Tim Brown, Steve Smith, Marvin Harrison, Reggie Wayne, Andre Johnson, James Lofton, Chris Carter. None of those guys could do what Randy Moss could do either. You know, Randy Moss had a unique ability to leap, out sprint, out leap, out fight people for balls. He just could do things that nobody else could do. But there are a lot of incredibly productive receivers in NFL history who remind me of Jefferson reminds me of a lot of these guys in that, you know, who cares about straight line speed? He is as fast coming out of his breaks as he is going into them. He runs great routes, great hands, great body control, runs well with the ball after the catch. Man, he could do some real damage on the all-time list if he keeps going at this rate.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. He's terrific. And, you know, I do think that he runs better routes than Randy Moss did. And so he is more versatile sort of in the ways that he can get the ball. I mean, lining up in the backfield for the touchdown, for his first touchdown of the game on Sunday was a nice little new wrinkle that he does. And because he's just is so precise in his routes and sets up defensive backs so well, he can create separation from those defensive backs without just the blinding speed that Randy Moss had. And so, yeah, he can be incredibly productive, and he already is incredibly productive, and certainly, you know, be on a trajectory for Pro Bowls and all pros, and who knows if he keeps it up for a long, long time for Hall of Fame, things like that. Absolutely. It's just the one thing that I get, you know, just a little kind of worried about, and I wrote about it. Like, I wrote about Randy Moss and Justin Jefferson, just like you did after the game. And but I always like try to keep in mind that there are two receivers that stand head and shoulders above everyone in the history of the NFL, and it's Jerry Rice and Randy Moss. So that's not even saying, like, and I even said in my stories, it's like Moss isn't the same kind, or Jefferson isn't the same kind of dominant, overpowering, you know, force that Moss was, but who was? Like, so when you set that standard, it's like an almost impossible one to reach. And so, you know, I always try to remind people, like, just remember what Randy Moss was. But that said, Jefferson is terrific in so many ways. And I do think that the technician in him can be, can contribute to longevity with this franchise, and he can be incredibly good for an incredibly long period of time. The one thing that I am absolutely ready to say, Jim, with respect to something, the commonalities between Moss and Jefferson, is that what we saw yesterday and what you heard during the week leading up to the game, what Mike Zimmer alluded to yesterday as well, was that, you know, Justin Jefferson wants to be in these big moments. He wants the ball. He wants to be a major factor in the outcomes of these games. And I think that the one thing that endeared Vikings fans to Randy Moss as much as anything else was that he always seemed to save his best for the Packers. Like, that he knew that this was the rivalry game, that everyone was watching them, and that he had to bring it like only he could. And so to hear Jefferson, to hear Mike Zimmer talk about that, to see Jefferson show up in a Randy Moss t-shirt, knowing exactly what that represents in this rivalry, and then to go out and do it and dominate that way, I think that's a huge, huge thing for the Vikings to hang their hats on going forward is not only is this guy incredibly physically gifted and really, really good at what he does, but he just really seems to want it. And so I think like that is what gives me very, you know, high confidence that this is a guy that they can build around for a long, long time because he has the right mentality, the right approach. And oh, by the way, he's incredibly physically gifted as well. Just not quite what maybe the most physically gifted receiver in the history of the league was at his prime.
At Talk North, we feel like we have the best sports lineup in Minnesota, as well as the best outdoor lineup. We keep adding shows. We have some new shows we'll be adding soon I think you'll be interested in. Best way to listen to the show or the network, subscribe to your favorite podcast app. And if you like hearing Viking talk, we also do Jeff Diamond's Vikings and NFL Insider. Jeff, of course, the former Vikings general manager and working with an agent, a player agency now, so you can offer all kinds of different perspectives on the NFL. So let's get to one more segment here, and then we'll do our picks for the week. The Vikings went into this four-game stretch, and I felt like this was going to be the biggest test of the season. And even if they salvaged one of these four games, I thought they could still make the playoffs. And I felt like if they lost all four, then it would be devastation. If they win one, they're okay. Winning two exceeds my expectations and puts them in a great position. Right now, they're the sixth seed in the NFC. The 49er game is fairly big because it's a direct competitor for those spots. But now they're five wins, and three of their games are against the Lions and the Bears going forward, two of the worst franchises in football. There are a lot of different ways now they can make the playoffs. There are even ways now you can imagine them getting to double-digit victories, which I didn't think we'd be talking about this point.
Yeah, I think that what I have been waiting for, Jim, with this team is a big boy win. Like what we have seen, and we talked about this last week leading into the Packers game, historically in the Mike Zimmer era, when this team goes up against really good competition with very good front sevens, they typically get overwhelmed and they get outclassed in a major way. And so I kind of expected the same thing to happen with the Packers coming in to US Bank Stadium on Sunday. And even though the Vikings had been showing some good progress and had a really good win over the Chargers the previous week, I still didn't trust them to come through in a situation like this because they just have not done it very often with Mike Zimmer and Kirk Cousins. Well, this victory and the way that they went about it against the Packers, I do believe, shows a different side of them, shows an ability to reach a higher plane in this league. And let's look at the rest of the NFC. I mean, it is a muddled mess out there. The Packers now, I mean, they lost Jenkins for the year with a torn ACL. Aaron Rodgers is a little banged up. They are not exactly clicking on all cylinders. Then you get, you know, the chief competition for the Vikings to get into the playoffs is going to be like maybe Carolina, maybe Washington, maybe Eagles. Philadelphia. Yeah. Yeah. And so all of those teams have warts and flaws. And so suddenly when you get a win like the Vikings had on Sunday against a really quality opponent and doing it by playing very well, And withstanding, covering up the weaknesses as much as they can. The offensive line still got dominated in the middle of the field, but they in the middle of the line, but they still found a way to win and found a way to make adjustments. When you do that, that I think opens people's eyes, and that says, okay, you know, maybe I have been underestimating them a little bit, and that's what I'm looking at right now. I do think after this win, it changes the complexion a little bit. I think that you can now start to think about the way the talent this team has on offense, the way that Kirk Cousins is playing, and their ability with Patrick Peterson back. Now Bashaud Breeland all of a sudden is playing pretty well, as you know, which is another big factor. They are finding other ways to beat you. And so I do think that suddenly you can say the door is opening for them. And you know, whether they are they a team that can win a couple of games in the playoffs and really make things interesting? I don't know, but certainly we now have to start talking about them as a legitimate playoff caliber team, which I didn't necessarily think they were, you know, prior to the last couple of wins here.
Agreed. Hey, let's get to our BetUS picks. Again, BetUS.com, BetUS the app. They have a great loyalty program, and it's a lot of fun to use their website, whether you're researching gambling or just trying to get insights in how an NFL game will play out. I got three games I want to get into here, John. Rams at Packers, a pick'em game right now. That's a fascinating game in the NFC hierarchy.
It's really fascinating because, you know, the Packers have stumbled a little bit, and they're dealing with a bunch of injuries. The Rams, though, have not exactly been lighting the world on fire either lately. Matt Stafford has not been playing great, even though they just added Odell Beckham. Like, they add a star every week, it seems like. And they haven't taken off the way that you expect. So I am the one thing that has been remarkable to me about the Packers outside of Aaron Rodgers' play over the years is that they always seem to find a way to put together a patchwork offensive line in the face of a lot of injuries. They have injuries to their offensive line every single year, and they find a way to win, to make it work. Maybe that's Rodgers. Maybe that's depth. I don't know what it is. But because of that, I am going to say I'm taking the Packers in a tight one at home against the Rams, who just haven't seemed to find themselves. And now we'll go play in a little bit of cold weather and see what happens.
I agree with you. All the exact same reasons. I'm going to take the Packers in that one as well. Tampa giving 2.5 going to Indy, which is one of the hottest teams in the NFL right now.
Yeah, Indy looks really good, man. Jonathan Taylor, 5 touchdowns on Sunday. They seem to be pretty well coached. And Tampa, another, it seems like, you know, last year at this time, they were in a bit of a midseason swoon as well. And I don't know if they're a little bored, if they're just, you know, kind of working through the Antonio Brown situation and a few other injuries and things. But I'm going to go Indianapolis. They seem to have some good momentum going. They are at home and they're riding a bit of a hot streak. Tom Brady loves playing there. Obviously, he's got a lot of experience doing that with the Patriots. But I'm still going to take the Colts here, even though I like the Bucs long term in the playoffs.
Yeah, I will take the points in this one. I think it's going to be a close game. I think, and the NFL is so unpredictable. If I'm not sure, I'm just going to take the points. And, you know, Tampa Bay is also on a short week, traveling on a short week. So maybe their run defense isn't quite as stout as it usually is. And if it's not stout, Jonathan Taylor is going to tear them up. So I will take Indianapolis in that one. Vikings at San Francisco. San Francisco giving 3 points.
I'm going to take the Vikings now. You know, this is a game that I, you know, a week ago, maybe even 2 weeks ago, I would have taken the 49ers without even thinking about it. But I don't really trust the 49ers at all right now. And the Vikings, if Kirk Cousins keeps playing like this, if Clint Kubiak keeps dialing it up the way that he has the last couple of weeks. And I just don't know that the Niners have enough offensive firepower to get into a shootout with the Vikings and win that way. So I'm going to go Vikings on the road, even though it's going to be a tough place to play and all those things. But I just like the wind at their backs right now, and it seems like they're starting to find themselves a little bit.
Once again, I will take the points, so I will take the Vikings. I think it's going to be close. And to me, it's going to be fascinating because the Vikings just beat, you know, the Chargers, exceptional skill position playing talent. They just outscored Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams. And now they have to go play a team that is starting to play really well and playing a completely different style. They are trying to run it down people's throats, beat them with the run game, and then loosen up the secondary. And then they have some very physical receivers that they can get the ball to. Kittle, Ayuk has come on lately. Deebo Samuel has come on as both a runner and a pass receiver. So it's going to be a completely different challenge. But I just can't, if I'm watching these teams play, I can't take the 49ers and give points. I got to take the points and the Vikings. Hey, so thank you to BetUS.com. Thank you for listening to Talk North and the Viking Update Show. John, give us a final thought.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, kind of looking at where the Vikings are right now and coming out of that game, I think that all of the attention is going on the offense in Jefferson right now, you know, rightfully so. They played a great game. They did exactly what they needed to do. But One thing to watch going forward here is if Bashaud Breeland can keep going in the pretty significant improvement he has had in from coverage, from a coverage standpoint over the last several weeks. He was a guy who at the start of the season was just getting absolutely roasted, you know, on a play-by-play basis. And you could tell that quarterbacks knew, okay, I'm going to stay away from Peterson. I'm going to go toward Breeland. We're going to have success that way. He is putting up much bigger fight lately. And I think that if he can sustain that, and especially now that Peterson is back, which really kind of gives the secondary a much more balance and a better kind of approach that way, that all of a sudden is an intriguing element to watch down the stretch. Because it's one thing is clear, Jim, they don't have a pass rush at all. I mean, we saw, you know, we saw Aaron Rodgers, he could have counted to 10 banana, you know, several times in some of those pockets on Sunday and still had time to throw. So they're going to have Breeland continue to play really well, Peterson to stay healthy, because it doesn't seem like they're going to have a whole lot of success getting pressure on the quarterback with just four. Zimmer had to bring a bunch of blitzes. Sometimes they worked out. Sometimes they got burned. And that's just the life that this defense is going to lead going down the stretch here.
Thanks to everyone for listening. We'll be at Tuttle's on December 2nd with the John Krasinski Show. And we'll do 7 o'clock December 2nd at Tuttle's, the John Krasinski Show. We'll obviously talk a lot of Timberwolves. We might even talk about other sports, including the Vikings as well. Thanks again for listening. Thanks to Brandon. Thanks to John. We will talk to you next week.